Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to an Everything Iconic Pop Dive with me, Danny Pellegrino, where my guests and I dive into iconic pop culture touchstones. Today, we're diving into Keeping Up with the Kardashians. The pop culture phenomenon debuted on October 14th, 2007 on the E! Network and featured half-hour episodes of the Kardashian-Jenner family and their hijinks. At the time, Kim and Bruce were the most well-known of the bunch, but they've all since become multimillionaires and celebrities in their own right. 8 spinoffs have been produced, including everything from the very first spinoff, Kourtney and Khloe Take Miami, to the docudrama I Am Kate, which ran for 2 seasons. The controversial family evokes a love 'em or hate 'em response from viewers and non-viewers alike. However, there's no denying that 15 seasons in, there is no end in sight. The show has come a long way from the comparatively modest house we saw in the pilot. There's been marriages, divorces, births, transitions, million-dollar businesses, lost earrings, fights, makeups, and so much more. I invited host of the Realizing Stuff Kardashian podcast, Ryan Bailey, to talk about the pilot, the show's impact, where the franchise is headed, and so much more. This is an Everything Iconic pop dive into Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Welcome to my family.
Kim, right?
I'm Kim Kardashian.
The princess is in the building.
I'm Khloe.
My sisters say I'm a bitch.
Who the f cares? Shut up, everyone.
But I always have their best interests at heart.
I'm Kourtney. I'm the oldest and the most mature.
I really think you should tighten your bikini top because your d*** look really saggy.
I'm Kris Jenner because I'm the mom. I'm the mom and Kim's manager.
Okay, Kim, it's your world. I just live in it.
Say what you want, but I know what's best for my kids and my husband.
I'm Bruce Jenner. And I am a pushover for my family.
Kendall, sit down!
Up to a point.
And then Bruce and I together have Kendall and Kylie Jenner.
My little Kendall.
We're gonna have 2 cocktails on the rocks.
Yeah!
You shouldn't be on the pole.
Oh my God!
So it's 6 kids and 2 crazy parents. We're the modern day Brady Bunch with a kick.
There's a lot of baggage that comes with us, but it's like Louis Vuitton baggage. You always want it.
Get off of me, Daddy!
Okay, guys, I'm here with Ryan Bailey, who, of course, hosts a Kardashian podcast. Ryan, yes. How are you doing today?
I am great. How are you doing?
I am great. We were just talking. We're both heavily caffeinated.
So caffeinated. Like, extra shot at Starbucks this morning.
Which can be good and bad for me. I mean, I can go off the deep end pretty quickly. My mom texts me, and she thinks I'm on, like, cocaine or something when I'm...
I'm on Starbucks gift cards, Mom. Yeah.
So we are going to be talking about the Kardashians. I rewatched the pilot, which I told you, I don't know that I've seen it in its entirety. Like, I know, yeah, I've seen clips throughout the years, and of course I've watched the show, but I don't know. This was the first time that I, like, sat down and really gave it a good watch.
Yeah. I mean, 21 minutes of goodness. It's an episode that launched an empire.
Right. Right. I know we're going to talk about sort of the impact it's had, and we're going to go through the episode. And I'm super excited because I normally just get to talk about Housewives, and I'm excited to talk about the Kardashians because I love them. I just don't really get to, you know, deep dive.
It's a different world. It's a hair different than Housewives.
Right. In terms of tone, how different do you think it is? Because it moves at a slower pace, right?
It does now. Like, the 21-minute pilot or 22-minute, it was a great pace. It, like, really keeps up. And then...
Which, not to interrupt you, yeah, but that surprised me that it was 22 minutes. I thought they were all an hour.
No, like, it started off as a half-hour, right, show on E!, then it moved to an hour, and now the pacing is so... It's one of my biggest pet peeves about Keeping Up with the Kardashians is that the pace is glacial at times. It really slows down. They have so much drama happening in their family that we see in public and all the tabloids, and then in the show, it just seems like they'll touch on that for a hair, and then they'll do these really long, drawn-out written subplots, and they'll make it an hour show. It's like crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so let's run through the pilot really quick.
Yes.
And then we got to get to a lot of pressing other issues.
So many.
So it opens with Chloe and Chris talking about Kim's ass.
Yes.
which Kim's ass is sort of famous. It's famous.
Yeah. I mean, that is. It's own area code.
Not that she's known for that. But at the time, so I was trying to think back, like, what were these people doing at the time? And Kim was just sort of known for that sex tape at the time.
Yeah, I mean, the Ray J tape is kind of, you know, and even in Kris Jenner just did an interview recently where she admitted, she's like, yeah, that did help us. Of course, they were like Kris was so smart and diversified from that, but that launched that. I mean, right. It launched their family, and not just Kim, but it launched everybody in that family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane, but you can't. That the significance of the Ray J tape, you just can't. People try to like dismiss that, like, no, she's talented and all those other things. She totally is, but you have that opportunity when luck meets opportunity and you have preparation thrown in. They were prepared to go.
Yeah, and it's interesting to watch. So we open in the house, they're talking about Kim's ass, and the sex tape is a big part of this pilot episode.
Yes,
because Kim's going to do, she gets an offer to do the Tyra Banks show, which I loved the Tyra Banks show.
But I love the seriousness with which they treat the, like, Tyra has asked us, we've got to nail the landing. Like, it is so, they're just all scared to death. Like,
should we do the Tyra show?
You want me to go on Tyra?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I love Tyra.
I know. How cool would that be? There's just one little catch.
What?
You'd have to talk about the tape.
Kim, you know she's going to ask about the tape. Like, what else is she going to ask about?
Tyra. I love Tyra Banks so much, and that talk show was just ahead of its time.
No,
it was,
I mean,
so good.
It fits in exactly with that pop culture moment, you know, because, like, I knew Kim from, like, in Us Weekly when she got hooked up with Nick Lachey. Like, that was my first introduction to Kim Kardashian, and then I knew she was, like, putting clothes together for celebrities and a stylist, but... Yeah, the tape made everything.
And I've been doing some investigative reporting, and all of these people are so connected. Like, the Kris Jenners, I mean, we talked about the Housewives, and it's like the Jenners, the Kardashians, they're all connected to the Richard sisters, to the Resnicks, to, like, they all, that world is just so small. The Beverly Hills world is incredibly small.
It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but the guy, like, it really impresses me about Kris Jenner, because she was the kind of lady that made an impression. Like, what I heard back in the day before the show was that when you would go to these parties and Kris Jenner was there with her family, Kris Jenner made herself known. Like, when Ryan Seacrest heard, like, it was like, no, you've got to meet Kris Jenner and her family. Like, this was going to happen one way or the other.
So was she was managing Bruce at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, she started dating Bruce. She picked his career up and, like, dusted it off, like, started doing infomercials with Bruce, and really kept him going in the spotlight until she was able to diversify with her kids.
And in the pilot episode, they're in this house, and it's such a... It's a quaint house compared to their surroundings now. It's very nice, yes.
But it's so tiny.
Right. It's tiny. It's small. It's cute. It looks like, any other... not any other house, but, you know... It's just interesting to look at where they're at now versus the house that they were starting in.
I always talk about it, like, in the sense of, like, in these beginning episodes, they're 2 feet away from each other. But in their houses now, I don't think they have conversations that are more like they're always 6 feet away from each other, because there's just so much more space in their house.
And I wasn't sure, were they all living there at this time in the pilot?
I believe at this point they were. Like, Kim eventually moves to, like, a condo, I think, around here, which is also very hysterical to think of Kim in a condo by, like, you know, La Brea, you know.
I remember the condo move on the show. So the show opens, and all of the girls are in their talking heads. They sort of explain who they are.
It's the Kardashian, like, taglines, but, like, with the girls explaining who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like the, you know, when you watch Jersey Shore, and it's like, I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet, or whatever. It's like, the Kardashians
did that. My sisters say I'm a bitch, but I have their best interests at heart. It's like, okay. Like, wow. Like,
right off the bat, they're like, these are who these people are. Mm-hmm. These are the archetypes they're going to be. Kris is like, I'm the mom and manager. And Bruce is like, I'm Bruce, and I'm a pushover.
Yeah, I'm a pushover for my family.
Now, there's not a lot of Rob in the pilot, and he didn't even get one of those talking heads, did he?
No, not at all. Rob is now back to where he was in the beginning, where we rarely see Rob. Like, Rob's heyday was around the 5th, 6th season. But yeah, like, I also think Rob is not the biggest go-getter. Like, he's not asking to be in anything.
Right. I mean, it just made me sad. I love Rob. And Rob was very cute at that time, too. He was adorable.
You're a Rob sympathizer?
Well, not anymore. I mean, after that stuff,
yeah.
I mean, that a whole
Blac Chyna
stuff. I mean, it got so dark, and I'm glad that they sort of pushed him away. But in the beginning, he seemed like a nice, sweet boy at first in the pilot.
We were talking about, like, wouldn't it be great, like, if they did an episode where the girls sat Rob down and explained how to treat a lady? Like, right. I mean, it seems like such an opportune moment for this family of strong women to tell, like, this is my big problem with the Kardashians, is that they actually still let men... I don't know. Like, they're so much more powerful than any man in their life.
Right, right.
Yet they still have men treating them like crap at times.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, like, I don't know. It's hard to change your personality in general for anyone. I don't know.
I'll
cut that part out. So we're celebrating Bruce and Chris's anniversary on the pilot, which was interesting. I totally forgot that this was a thing on the show, and of course, everything that's happened between the two of them, it was interesting to look back and see them in a loving-ish relationship.
A suburban marriage where they're like, yeah, you go do what you want, Chris, and I'm gonna, you know, it was, they were celebrating 13 years, right? And, you know, Kylie and Kendall are their kids that they had together. You really did get the sense that they were, I mean, maybe not the most loving family, but a family.
Right. Did you see any of the signs between Chris and Bruce? Like, did you see that breakup coming?
I don't know if I saw the breakup necessarily, but you saw how Bruce was so trapped in his surroundings. Right. And I guess, you know, you can fill those blanks in when you go back. When I go back and watch the episodes now, it's very clear to me, because you'll just see Bruce wandering around in the background by himself. He's like, right. I'm going to go fly my helicopters or play some golf by myself.
Right.
Like, he's always just wandering in scenes, and they all treat him like crap. Like,
right, it's
very weird, but he just seems kind of like a stranger in his own house.
Right.
Is anybody going to ask me who I invited?
Do you have any friends besides my mom's friends?
Yeah.
There's no way to tone down anything with my mom. She wants a huge party, and Bruce would probably rather just do nothing or golf.
Who'd you invite, Bruce? No one?
The only friends I have is my family.
Those are the best kind of friends. We'll never screw you over.
One of my favorite lines in the pilot is such an iconic line for the show. It's when Chris says, regarding Kim's sex tape, she says,
one of the things that Tyra's going to want to talk about is the sex tape.
When I first heard about Kim's tape, as her mother, I wanted to kill her. But as her manager, I knew that I had a job to do.
Chris Jenner's thesis statement.
Right.
I mean, she really is... I can't give Kris Jenner enough praise to be able to skate that line of love and business as well as she has. It's crazy. And did you also notice how Kris Jenner looks younger now than she does in the pilot?
100%, yeah.
I mean, like, Chris is like, it's Benjamin Button. Like,
right. I mean, they all look better. I think Courtney, Chloe, Kim, they all look better now than they did back then.
Yeah, I mean, it shows.
For Rob. Poor Rob.
Rob's just, but every opportunity, he has he could literally pay somebody to move his muscles, and he just doesn't. He had his life coach on last season. I don't know if that life coach will ever work in the business again.
Poor life coach. I love Chris as a manager, and she was sort of the first of these momagers.
Yeah, I mean, I think she tried to trademark that word, but I would love to see her, and we see little glimpses of it here and there, but I would love to see when she gets really angry, like she kind of, because people will talk about it like, oh, don't tell Chris this, but you never,
never see
her,
it.
But you know it's there.
Right. Right.
And it's got to be intense.
Right. On the show, she's always sort of smiley in her demands or in her sharpness.
They did this on the pilot, too, is that Chris likes her drink.
I don't think I've ever had whiskey. Can I just have a little bit more?
Sure.
One thing's leading to another.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. And sure enough, we find ourselves tasting about 6 or 7 different kinds of liquor.
Right,
Mama needs her cocktail. Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's the other thing that they always hint at. Like, and the girls even make fun of her face. Like, Mom, you're going to drink already? Like, so they'll just have these little sentences here and there throughout the show.
Now, I know Kim doesn't really drink or do drugs, but do the other girls?
Well, we talked about this on the podcast before. Is
on your podcast?
Yeah. Unrealizing stuff. And so Kim got drunk once in Kim and Chloe. Chloe and. God, I'm telling you,
Chloe,
Courtney, take Miami.
Right.
Kim got drunk in one episode, and she drank a bunch of drinks, and you know, ate crazy stuff. But she supposedly does not drink. We definitely
do you believe that?
I do believe that in a sense. I think Kim's drug is fame. I think that's what she gets drunk on. But I think Chloe definitely has had her moments, especially with Lamar and that situation. Rob, definitely.
Courtney?
I think she had her times in her 20s where she would like to party, but I don't think anybody was abusive.
Yeah, yeah. Except for Chris. Not Chris isn't dying. But yeah, in the pilot, they're having the anniversary party, and Chris and Courtney are out taste testing alcohol before. And
they're switching to party. Whiskey to vodka.
Which is so dangerous. It's That's very the worst dark, thing. Yeah. Yeah. They have this anniversary party. You know, I noticed Heather McDonald was there.
Seems like she has everybody's trust in these circles. Real quick, Jill Zarin, I got tipped off yesterday that Jill Zarin and Lindsay Lohan's mom, and I forget somebody else, They're somewhere, and they had a huge fight at their table that Jill Zarin started. And the rumor was they almost leaked this little bit of news so Andy could see that she still can bring it.
I would love to see that happen, but I would love to see the girls take a cast trip to Mykonos and do a Lindsay Lohan crossover. Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it be great if the whole cast goes there and that's where Jill's introduced? Like, hey, ladies, I'm back.
Could you imagine? Like, they all go to Mykonos for their cast trip early on in the season, and it's like Jill's there with Dina. I don't know.
Do you ever, like, do you ever want, like, I want to do this show where it's all, like, former housewives, yes, and they 100%. Put them in a survivor type thing? Where they, like, but, like, anybody that wants to get back on the show, they have like a 14-person survivor type thing that Andy hosts, and they have to like do like eat bugs, do all this stuff, like fight each other, and like whoever wins gets back on their show.
I would 100% watch that. I would love that. I also think they could do an all-star version of Housewives where it's like a vacation, or, you know, I mentioned that Jill Zarin charity luncheon. It's like they could do that. They could film that because there's so many housewives from different cities. And so I don't understand why they don't do more crossovers in that way. And I know they don't really want to break the fourth wall too much, but they do. They're starting to. And so it's only a matter of time before some of that stuff.
I think eventually in 10 years we'll have a Housewives network.
Right, right. So back to the Kardashians. We also see Scott Disick in the pilot, and he looks like a baby. Like, he looks so young.
Yes. Right. A little American Psycho Scott Disick, very fresh faced, and you know.
And
confident.
I actually thought he was he had sort of like an it factor when we first saw him. Like, sometimes we see boyfriends or sort of secondary characters on these reality shows, and you're like, oh, they're going to be gone next season. But I sort of saw something in Scott that I was like, he's good on reality TV.
Scott Disick has so much charisma and charm that even though they are not, like, him and Courtney are not together anymore, they still have him as a bigger part of the show than Rob Kardashian, than even like Kendall Jenner, Kylie.
And Caitlyn now too. I mean,
Caitlyn's gone. The most part, which I don't know, hopefully we'll see this season, but I don't think so. But he is so charming that even with all of these problems and rumors of partying and not being sometimes the most present dad, he is there season after season.
And then also the girls are working at Dash.
Woo!
He's like, oh my god, Dash.
Just to see the girls have a real job is just refreshing.
I was thinking about Chloe working the cash register. I'm like, what a world.
I run Dash with my sisters. It is a high fashion woman's boutique. It's a place that we all kind of get to catch up and relax and just gossip with one another.
Well, just but think about, like, at a certain point they were like us.
Right.
They were having like those like part-time, or not, I mean, they owned the business, but still they had to close
out. They were working
the
register. Yeah. And they were living in small condos and they were definitely. And this was a weird time in Hollywood history because this was 2007. And I think it was an interesting time because it was right around all the celebrity, like the Perez Hilton. It was sort of the end of the Perez Hilton era, right?
I used to go on Perez Hilton on a daily basis. I don't even touch it anymore.
Me either.
Like, I'm a Daily Mail man.
Yeah.
I'm a Daily Mail man. But,
sure.
You know, like, I used to live on that
site. I know. We all did. Yeah. It was like every day I would go and check and I would scroll. You would just scroll. It was amazing. Yeah. And that was sort of this time. It was like Kitson.
Oh, God, that whole, my friend used to work at Lisa Klein, which was right like 2 or 3 doors down from Kitson. And that was, I mean, it was like when Paris would stop in and paparazzi would be outside all the time.
Yeah, and all these girls were trying to start clothing brands and clothing lines. And they still do, but in a different way.
I mean, Kristen Doty does, I mean.
Yeah. I don't even know the name of hers. I can't.
James May.
James May. Oh, one of the things I want to talk about, this is a very important part of the episode. So we first see Kim with Robin Anton, who's the mastermind behind the Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
And I actually met her once. I went to a show in Vegas and my friend got me tickets and like we were seated with her.
Ooh.
And it was exciting. This was very exciting because I know Robin Anton. We all know Robin. Yeah, she was very sweet. She was like producing or there's a guy named Matt Goss in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He like is a headliner in Caesar's Palace, like in one of the smaller venues there. And so we were seeing him, and then Robin was at our table.
Did you ever used to watch Blowout with Jonathan Anton?
A little bit. Yeah.
I've been a Bravo guy for a long time. And like, that was one of my, I mean, he was ridiculous, but I love that whole family.
I always found it odd that they were never able to find a proper vehicle for Robin Anton. Like, she sort of popped up on a bunch of stuff, and they've tried a few things. Like, they've tried a couple Pussycat Doll series, but they never really seemed to pop.
Will we ever uncover the true meaning of the Pussycat Dolls? Still things are being leaked out that it was like some kind of like underground like operation that they were renting out Pussycat Dolls to rich guys. Like,
and Ryan, this past year they were supposed to have a reunion. Like, they were supposed to reunite like with Nicole. Nicole was supposed to front a reboot of the Pussycat Dolls, and then Nicole dropped out, and now they're sort of trying to reboot it with new people.
Nicole comes to my acting studio. She gets coached there bit. Yeah.
She's beautiful, right?
She's gorgeous. But I mean, she's not like, she comes in basic, not like trying, you know? Yeah. Like,
okay, so Robin Anton and Kim, they are going up to Chris and Bruce's room to look at the stripper pole they got for their anniversary.
Yes, this is huge.
This is huge, and this is one of the most memorable moments from the entire show. Yeah. But they got a stripper pole, and then Kylie hops on in. Kylie's how old at this point?
Like, I think she's like 8 or 9. She's very
preteen,
young.
Preteen.
Yeah.
And she goes and starts doing like stripper moves
on
the pole.
Look at me, everybody. And like, kind of like intense, like she's,
they were good. Herself.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Demi Moore and like, you know.
Yeah, it was like, how does she know how to do that? I mean, I know when you're young, you're pretty flexible, but like, that was shocking. And Bruce just walks in, and Bruce is like, what is going on?
Kylie, what's going on here?
Like, I know, like, how horrifying as a father or a parent to see your preteen on a stripper pole in front of cameras.
I feel like that moment in itself is such an encapsulation of what everything to come is. Like, if you can fast forward and just morph through the like 10 years since then, and to see where Kylie is now, where Caitlyn is now, and that was on the first episode.
And
when that happened, that was a moment that people were outraged.
Right. I remember every talk show was like, should they be on TV? Is this okay? Like, is it wrong that the little girls are on the stripper pole? Blah, blah, blah. And they were also bartending at the anniversary party, too.
Yeah, it was cute. Like, do you want a martini? Do you want a little dirty?
Those girls are interesting to me.
I'm not a huge, if you listen to the podcast, I very much don't like Kendall Jenner.
Why do you not like Kendall?
I think she's vapid. She's a piece of wood. I don't like Kylie. To me, I fell in love with eventually through Life of Kylie, and I think she has pure intentions. Kendall, I think, is the kind of girl that would like ruthlessly make fun of me in high school, and probably still would make fun of me and make me cry eventually. I really believe she would find my weakness and just needle me. You can just tell she would just talk mad crap, you know?
Yeah, I get that. So we're at the anniversary party, and one of the things that's going on sort of post-anniversary party is that Chris found out that Scott had cheated on Courtney, or allegedly cheated
allegedly,
on Courtney.
Allegedly,
yeah. And so she's not sure if she should tell him. She eventually confronts she confronts Courtney about it, and Courtney says, I knew about all
Mom,
of this all along.
I knew about that. Of course. It was when we were on a break. It was like, it's totally fine.
And actually, when I watched it back, I was like, you know what? It wasn't as bad as I maybe thought, because they were so young. I mean, Scott was 24, and that sort of begs the question, like, at 24, are you ready to settle down to be monogamous with someone, do you think?
Well, I think when you're in that age, you think you are. Mm-hmm. But when we get in our 30s, I think we're like, what? Like, they're babies.
Right,
that's
baby.
Not going to last.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Scott's voice too in those early, he's like gravelly, like it's almost like a young godfather, like, what are you talking about? I'm just, no, it's all
he,
good.
He like still has a baby face.
I know. And at the time I remember thinking like, what a good looking guy. And now I think he's much better looking. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the beard. I love the kind of dad bod letting it go thing.
Yeah, it works for him. And who is he dating now? He's with someone.
Sophia Richie, which that's a big thing. Are we going to see Sophia Richie on this new season? Because I had heard that they were potentially shopping a show, and they had made like a sizzle reel of a show between Scott and Sophia. And
with Chris producing?
I don't know if Chris producing, but I guess whatever happened, people weren't that jazzed on. So I'd heard the rumor that Scott and Sophia signed on to this season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We definitely know Scott is on, but they just released the first three episode descriptions, and the first episode says Scott feels guilty for moving on to a new relationship with Sophia Richie.
Okay, so she's got to be on.
She's got to be on.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Or at least she's a storyline. At least she's going to be a storyline in the show.
Yeah, like they talked about her last season, like for an episode where Chris talked to Scott about her. But I don't even know what her voice sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
What if she sounds exactly like Lionel Richie?
Hello.
I cannot wait to find out. I'm on the edge of my seat. What are the other episode descriptions?
So the other episode, episode two, is called The Art of the Prank. And here's where we get into classic Kardashian hijinks. So it's Kim and Khloe try to get to the root of Courtney's bad attitude, which ignites another huge fight between the girls. Meanwhile, Kim makes Kendall a promise she can't keep. And Khloe and Scott formulate an elaborate plan to prove Chris isn't the art expert she claims to be.
Oh, my God.
So this is why I don't like the show, is that you know there will be a 40-minute subplot where they prank Chris into buying like an $8 million painting. And it's probably just like, no, little Northy drew that. You know, and you'll find out the very end.
5 minutes of
actual stuff. You like Kanye went to TMZ and said slavery was a choice.
Do you think they should go back? That's funny. Do you think they should go back to the 22-minute format?
Oh, yes, but the only way is if you would actually deal with the issue. Like you could cut. They do this thing too where they, and it's a really cool thing, but in tone, it really is messy, is that like last year they were talking about like homeless situation or prison reform, which, you know, Kim did an amazing thing this year in securing the release of Anne-Marie Johnson. But it's sometimes when you're doing these goofy subplots and then you crank into Los Angeles has a huge homeless population, you don't know which show you're watching, right. And it kind of, you're all over the place emotionally.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know if a 22 would work.
Yeah, I think at this point their lives are too large.
Yeah, and there's so many of them. But so the pilot, then we see Kim preparing for Tyra. She goes on Tyra and it goes well.
She's victorious.
Right, right. It goes well. She talks a little bit about the sex tape and we get through all that stuff. And she says, Tyra says to her, I'm going to be your big sister today. She's just so Tyra. I love that. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. Also, we meet Brittany Gastineau, who was Kim's best friend at the time.
Yeah.
What's going on with them now? Do you know what their relationship is now?
Well, so you still see Brittany pop up, you know, in certain like family events. I believe like the holiday party that they throw every year. But I don't believe it's as close of a relationship. I don't know any actual dirt on them. But Kim seems to have a hard time you know, keeping the same friends, mm-hmm. like as close as they are. Like I sometimes wonder about what her social situation is like these days, and especially with Kanye, because we've also through Kanye interviews, we realize that they don't really talk or they're not around each other on a daily basis. Like he'll go to Wyoming for like weeks at a time and she'll pop in for big events or something like that. So I think Kim, not isolated, but I think she's, I don't know. She's just laser-like in her plans for what she has with her life, and I don't know if that necessarily includes close friends at this point.
Right. That's so interesting. And so then the episode ends with Chris telling Court about Scott, which we had talked about, and Courtney said she knew.
Doug, I know all about it.
And I want to talk about some other general stuff. In terms of the sex tape, have we forgotten that part of Kim? Like, not at this point, right, Kim's known for much more than that. So when the general public thinks of Kim, what do you think the first thing they think about is now?
Well, now I think they think about, just if you were asked us today, I think Kanye. Right. I think Kanye is the immediate thing. But just right now, like 6 months from now, it could be a different thing. But you know, the sex tape to me is like a superhero origin story. Like you want to know how they got their powers.
Right.
Kim got her powers through that. Like just no argument. But what she did with it then is kind of this incredible story. And I think that's why we love the entire family. You know, it's a love hate thing sometimes, but you're just like from where they started to where they are now, you've seen somebody like used to do trim spa ads and like tea things. And now they're on the cover of Vogue.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That is an insane rise in 10 years.
It's like a rags to riches or a riches to more richer.
Yeah, well, we talk about this all the time, is just the many phases of Kim's face and voice.
Mm.
You know, I think Kim commented on this last week on her Twitter. You know, she had an old thing of her baby voice. And like Khloe does this too when she's around men. She does a baby voice.
She does that baby voice.
It's so upsetting. But Kim, like her voice, like I almost wonder if she's worked with a voice coach over the years because she's really dropped down into a very solid speaking voice.
I need to hire that person.
Oh,
sometimes my voice.
But there really are people out there, like, you know, especially I work at an acting studio and women always have that problem of finding their voice. And there's all these exercises that they'll do to warm up. And I sometimes wonder if Kim did that. But what the other thing is very interesting is like, if you see the phases that her face has gone through. And she still remained at the forefront of beauty each phase. I just wonder where this ends, though. Like, because right now, it's like you see Kim in there, but it's almost like she's a work of art in a sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she has the best people doing the, like, cutting-edge technology. Right.
Setting the trends.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I just wonder where that ends.
I'm so endlessly fascinated about Kylie setting those beauty trends with the lips. And it's like that now she's deflated them or taken, not, I don't know if deflated is the right word, but taken the filler out.
Yeah, like filler businesses took a huge hit. Like,
I know, like the whole, I said the whole,
honey, we got to close up shop. Like, Kylie took it out.
Yeah. There was just a siren that went off in the Zolciak household. Like, what do we do now?
I got 80% off on Groupon. What?
Like, they do not know what to do now. But I just am fascinated by it. And I'm wondering if all of these girls that did the implants or did the fillers are going to take them out.
Well, I think we'll see, because we're still in like the third or fourth week of Kylie, like, and seeing how she's like doing which, by the way, is kind of fascinating. They talked about this in Life of Kylie, is, you know, she had the thinnest lips, and I'm a thin lip guy myself, but I don't wear makeup, but her story for that was she had such thin lips that she learned everything she could about makeup to make her lips look better. And I thought that was such a, like, if a cool thing to do it without surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's why I like Kylie so much, is that, you know, who knows if that's the real reason, but I thought it was cool. So cool of like, no, I'm cool with being me, you know?
Right, right. So do you have favorite moments from the show?
Yeah, of course. I mean, my favorite moment is, you have the Kim freaking out about realizing she's going to get a divorce from Frankenstein, Chris Humphries, mm-hmm. When you had the meme that launched 1,000 ships of the crying, like, I don't know.
Right. You think I feel good that I, like, met this guy from Minnesota, and I feel awful that, like, I made him move out here and, like, change his whole life, and I feel bad for him? I feel sad. I feel bad for the guy. I changed his whole life, and he fell in love with me, and I fell in love with him, and now my feelings have changed. You don't think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and flew everyone out? I wasted everyone's time. You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything. And I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad? At 30 years old, I thought I'd be married with kids, and I'm not. And I failed at this. And you think that I don't feel bad?
I mean, it was one of the realest moments on the show because, like, Kim has to admit how vapid she is.
Right.
How she doesn't know how real relationships work, and how this thing that she had done a whole season of their show, that she did a huge episode on their wedding.
The wedding special. I know. I was watching religiously at that time. Like, I fall in and out of the Kardashians. Yeah. But I remember during the Chris Humphrey years with the wedding stuff and then post-wedding, that was when I was, like, following the most.
As viewers, we knew that that wasn't a great relationship, mm-hmm. right? Like, we all saw that. And for Kim to see that, and I think we've all been there at times too, of just like, how do I get out of this and right. still look good?
Right.
Like, Kim, if we know anything, is obsessed with fame, and like, she's very attuned to where her place in this world is fame wise. Like, we saw in that Kanye interview, or like, Kanye did a song where he said in this last album of like, my wife calls me screaming, we're going to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, what an interesting person to pair her up with, Kanye, who is keeping on her toes at all time. But that was one of my favorite moments. I loved the season where Caitlyn was involved and kind of seeing those relationships. I'm fascinated.
Oh, like Caitlyn's transition.
Caitlyn was already Caitlyn.
Right. Right.
But seeing how those family members reacted to her in the little that we could see it. And there is no doubt that Caitlyn was not the best father for a lot of his family and has real issues with relationships. But I'm sincerely bummed out. There's a preview in the preview for the new season. There's a part where I think Kendall or Kylie is like, you know, well, she's our dad, you know, and I wonder, like, will she be in this season at all?
Right. Did you watch the Caitlyn spinoff? Her spinoff?
Yeah, I Am Kate, yeah.
Yeah, I watched every episode, and I was so fascinated by the second season, how they started already doing stunts for the show, right? Because it was so boring season one.
Yeah.
And then season two, they were like, let's do a road trip. And I was joking, like, every season, if they got picked up, it was like they were going to be doing, like, the Survivor or something, where they're trying
I'm
to
I'm living life, baby, yeah! It's just like you. It's just, like I just love like when like Bruce was always kind of like, you know, the positive speaker, and I loved Caitlin's. I listened to Caitlin's audiobook, which, by the way, the big pet peeve with the audiobook, Caitlin doesn't do her own audiobook.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Well,
that.
Caitlin said it was because she has dyslexia, so that's why it's hard for her to read. But nonetheless, I just love picturing Caitlin just so full of life, like, yeah, I'm living life at 65, baby. You know, she's always ready to party. Sure. And it's like, you know, you used to see Bruce just like shut in at the house. And now she's out and about. You see her at every party. You see her at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. Right. She's everywhere.
She really opened up after the transition. And it was nice to see that side of things.
I think for anybody, it's awesome to find out who they are. And you can tell that is probably the genuine person in
right,
there.
Right, right, right. The politics of it all was a little problematic with Caitlin.
Of course. I mean, but also imagine just like hiding like to your wife and your family.
I mean, I couldn't imagine.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it's horrifying. But the spinoff, I watched every episode, and I also watched Life of Kylie. What's been your favorite spinoff?
I think
there's been so many of them.
There is so many. Life of Kylie will always have a soft spot in my heart because that's what introduced me to this whole world. Mm-hmm. Just for that. I mean, I always knew the family, but in terms of starting to watch the show religiously, and that was only like a year and a half ago because Kara, my partner on the podcast, bullied me into it. But then I got to say the Courtney and Chloe Take Miami. It's a slice of heaven, and we do a whole deep dive on every episode of that season this summer we did, and it's so funny to watch people. Like, Chloe is a shock jock in Miami.
Everybody, welcome back to Chloe After Dark.
And, like, that's her dream. Like, Chloe's like, you know what? This is my dream for the rest of my life. I just want to be on radio. And I'm like, girl, you got different dreams every month.
Every day, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Is she still doing Revenge Body? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, they did a second season, which, by the way, I want to see a whole season of Revenge Body with Rob Kardashian.
Right.
You have the biggest, like, Revenge Body, get revenge on Blac Chyna. Don't, like, call her out and, like, send out nudes. Get yourself in shape,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder, it's just Rob's personality. It's like he's,
I think that, you know, the death of his father and whatever situation happened in the Lamar Odom household when he lived with them,
yeah,
I think were two dark things that, like, he could only escape through.
Wait, what do you think happened in the household?
I think there
Lamar?
Was, and this is allegedly, I think there was a lot of drug use.
Has this been reported?
Like you know, gossip, yeah. You know, you didn't see, but, like, you know, obviously you saw what happened with Lamar after right. that. And, you know, Chloe had to extricate herself from that situation. But I think then, like, you know, he started just getting bigger and bigger and wanting to hide. I mean, because think about him going all the way to Italy for the Kanye Kim wedding and then staying for a day and realizing he didn't like the way he looked and he was scared of people taking pictures of him and he flew all the way back home.
That makes me sad. That makes me so sad about him.
Oh, dude. I mean, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
How long do you see this all going? Do you think this is going to be on in 10 years? Are we going to still be watching the Kardashians? Are they going to morph into another form somehow? Or are they going to branch off
their
into
final
something
form,
else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? No, where is this going?
I think potentially, depends on where cable TV goes, really. I think you're going to see this show for at least 20 more years. And I know that's not even a joke because think about it. This past season, you have North, who is a little star. I mean, North was my favorite part of the show this past season because she would pop on, say like two lines. I mean, it was just like the cutest girl in the world. And I thought like the relationship between her and Chris, I would love to see more of. And you have Courtney's kids that are
so
really
cute.
So you
think we're going to see the next generation of these?
It's like Menudo. Over, I think right. You're just going to keep, like, you know, Courtney's going to be out one season, but they're going to put like North in. They're going to have like a deep bench that they just pull from.
Which I think when this show started, we all expected it to be like one of those one season reality shows because at the time there were a lot of similar reality shows like The Osbournes or something. And it's like even The Osbournes, when that came on, it flew so close to the sun and it was like really popular for a few years. Or Newlyweds was three seasons. And it's like, I don't think any of us expected 11 years later for them to still be on. And there's no end in sight.
I was obsessed with The Osbournes. I went to a Virgin Megastore signing of their first season DVD. I loved that show so much.
So
but yeah,
good.
Like, I think it's because of the sheer force of will of Kris Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she will do anything to keep her family where they need to be. What I am interested in is, like, well, what is next? Like, they can't do, like, a Vegas residency because none of them actually have real tangible talent except for, like, makeup lines. So where do you go?
Right. But I mean, also, I think that they've innovated along the way. So it's like they could innovate in a way that we just don't know yet. I mean, in terms of makeup, it's like we're seeing these Kim's makeup guy, Mario, you know, he does these master classes now that sell out and they're crazy. And it's like that could be a touring thing that they do. You know what I mean?
The Forbes list of like the highest paid people, Kylie was on there. I mean, you know, she had the cover of the, you know, pretty soon she'll be a billionaire. She gets $1 million if she does a sponsored Instagram post.
Crazy.
Yeah, like you're never going to see Kylie on like Cameo.
Yeah. I'm on there, by the way, if anyone wants one. So how do you think Keeping Up with the Kardashians as a show has shaped reality TV? Do you think it's changed?
Well, so they always get a bad rap, and maybe it's – they always get a bad rap of kind of like bringing down the values of American families. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes disagree with that because if anything, you watch this show and you might not love how Khloe talks or some of these things, but you get the sense that – they are there for each other. They are a family. And I know like this is like serious, but you get like they would do anything for each other. And you like that to me is family. And I don't see a lot of that in like the families.
But in terms of TV,
it's amazing. You can't debate that they are there for each other and they love each other.
So you watch the show to talk about it. You have your own show. And do you like these people?
They're starting to turn into like family members like me where I'm like, Khloe's doing this again. Khloe's letting a man rule her world.
Right.
I get kind of like protective in a way and I get frustrated, but you only do that with people you love.
Mm-hmm. Will Kim and Kanye last? Or how long do you think they will last?
Okay. It's so sad when I'm like, I have thought about this a lot.
Sure.
Like, that's so sad. I'm a middle-aged man and I'm thinking about this a lot. I think no.
Yeah.
I think because we have to realize if we look at pop culture as a whole, think about how many relationships Cher had. Kanye is a brilliant artist. You know, he's very frustrating and he's exhausting to follow. But Kim is not. Kim is not a brilliant artist, but she's very smart and she's not. She doesn't have any kind of imbalance. Kanye does. At a certain point, that is not going to be a look that Kim wants to continue. I think it will last for another 5 years. Mm. You know, but at a certain point, I don't think it will last.
Interesting.
Oh, that's sad.
No. Any insight into the upcoming season? We talked a little bit about, you know, those episode descriptions. Is there anything else that's coming that you know about from behind the scenes or from kind of following this stuff?
You know, the big question is, and this is what we hear a lot of rumors on, will the Khloe Tristan cheating scandal be in this? Because we've heard both. We've heard that there were cameras when Khloe was giving birth. This is the thing that we try to really find out the most about, is because that whole cheating scandal a week before she gave birth. And supposedly, you know, TMZ ran those photos and we had heard that TMZ always puts things by Chris before they get out.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris had to have, you know, allegedly signed off on this or knew this was coming. And that's the thing that's so hard to reconcile in my mind, is you want the birth of your baby. You want it to be all about your baby, the happiest moment in your life. And especially Khloe, who we know wanted this so badly. Like, this was such a victorious moment to have this child. And then you have this like dark shade over it all of a sudden. Like, I've never liked Tristan. I thought Tristan was a player since the day I saw him on TV. And it's definitely in the like vein of who Khloe goes for. But it was so dark and sad. And it's like all of a sudden I didn't think about the baby anymore. I just thought about that douchebag Tristan.
Right.
And so are they going to face that? And I've heard both.
Yeah.
I would love it if this show totally focused on that and really delved in, but that's just not the show that we have.
Right.
So I don't think if anything, you'll have this like elaborate art hoax, you know, episode. And then at the end, it'll be like, oh, by the way, Tristan cheated on me. Boom. You know,
icons. If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area. And within our budget, the Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
Ryan, I could talk to you for hours about all this stuff.
I love it.
You are a scholar. You are a genius. And it's so nice to talk about, I mean, housewife adjacent stuff. Now, do you have anything else that we need to talk about?
No, I mean, I think we
covered a lot.
We did cover a lot in a very quick...
You know, we'll have to do a part two.
Oh my God. We have to do a part two. This is a dream come true. You know?
I did your podcast. Now tell everyone about your podcast. Yes. It's all Kardashian. So if you're into this, like, please go subscribe to your podcast. Tell me about it.
Apple Podcast, Realizing Stuff with Kara and Ryan. You know, we are two middle-aged people.
Realizing stuff, like, that's one of Kylie's infamous quotes.
And I feel like this year is really about, like, the year of just realizing stuff. And everyone around me, we're all just, like, realizing things. 2016, looking good.
You'll hear it at the beginning of our pod every week. And, you know, Kara came up with that title and we ran with it. But it all started, we were in a Facebook group, Emotionally Broken Psychos, and Kara used to bully me on there. And Life of Kylie was coming out. And she's like, I threatened Ryan to do this podcast with me. And we did it. And we really enjoyed ourselves. And we kept going past that. And it's kind of turned into this really, really neat little thing. So please subscribe to us on iTunes.
And you guys are so good together. I love Kara too. I want her to come on this show.
Oh, she would die.
When she's here, that's the other thing.
She's in New York. I'm here. So we Skype this every week. She's turned into one of my best friends. And it's, you know, so we have this kind of relationship where she just mercilessly makes fun of me, or I'll say a horrible joke and she'll just pause for like 30 to 40 seconds and then we'll continue.
It's so good though. It's so good. So if you guys like Kardashian anything, please go subscribe to it.
And you can find us on Twitter at @EBP_realizing, on Instagram at @EBP realizing, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @RyanBailey25.
Yes, everyone go follow Ryan, and you're in the Everything Iconic Facebook group. So we'll put all the info there too.
By the way, but I love this reality show community so much. I'm a straight middle-aged man. It's like, I don't watch sports. My guy friends, like, don't watch reality shows. So to have found all of these communities and everybody be so nice, it really is some of the best part of my day, going on to these Facebook groups or listening to these podcasts.
I totally agree. I think the community is so supportive. Also, you did mention you're straight. Are you seeing anyone I feel like we need to find like a good, a cute reality TV lover, you know.
I'm dating Kim Richards.
Oh, if only. I'd love that. So, Ryan, thank you so much. For everyone, go follow Ryan on social media. Everyone follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please go rate and review this podcast if you like it. It really helps us out a lot. What else am I missing? Oh, thank you to Samsung Technologies, our sponsors. Thank you to Whitney for producing. Please join the Patreon to help support this podcast. For $4 or more per month, you get access to all of the bonus episodes, plus exclusive extended interviews and so much more. Plus, you're just helping to support this podcast, so it really helps us out a lot. That's patreon.com/everythingiconic. Thank you, Ryan, so much. This was a blast.
I love you.
Bye, guys. Love you. All you have to do is try. There's no turning back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.